Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Donnie Chedrick with you live from Sharky's in Latrobe with Miller Lite. Enjoy Miller Lite happy hour specials every weekday from 4 to 6, wing specials on Monday and Tuesday, and check out the Latrobe Meadows and Latrobe Coffee now open just behind the spot here. Meadows are popping up everywhere in this area. There's like five or six of those babies now. So if you're a fan of custard over ice cream, it tastes pretty similar. It's all good. Right now on the Fan Hotline, we are joined by St. Vincent head football coach Casey Goff, entering his first season as the Bearcats head coach. And we are just down the street from the campus of St. Vincent College. So, Coach, very happy that you could hop on here. So far, this is your first endeavor with Steelers training camp, kind of crossing over with the operation that you guys are trying to run. So how has that whole process been?
First, thanks for having me. I like the little unskinny. Was that unskinny bop I caught on your intro?
Yes. That. It's good like stuff. A random mix of music, yeah, but yeah, good catch
good
there.
Stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So it's been interesting. You know, I think for the most part, we're tucked away doing our job. So and they're doing their job. So you know, I think it's just a matter of football coaches being football coaches and organizations being organizations. So it's pretty cool to, you know, to be in such close proximity with a team like this. But overall, we're locked in on recruiting right now, locked in on doing our jobs, getting ready for camp. So I think there's enough separation that, it's a cool crossover, but bottom line is we're trying to get St. Vincent ready to play some football.
Do you guys cross over at all practice-wise? I know that in years past there has been some time where, both you guys and the Steelers will still be there.
Yep, no, not this year. I think they finish up the 12th or 13th, and our kids report on the 15th. So we won't have that crossover this season.
When it comes to recruiting, I feel like this is always a pretty cool feather in the cap for St. Vincent. Like, hey, if you're somebody from the area, you know what we're all about here with Steelers training camp. And if you're from outside of the area, everybody knows who the Steelers are.
Yeah.
So, do you guys use that in, a recruiting pitch?
We've taken full advantage of that so far this season. You know, so we've, since camp started, we're having kids every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We had 23 kids on campus today with the McAfee Show, on campus. So we were going to take full advantage of that. So, yeah, absolutely, we talk about that. And, the main part is talking about our facilities. The fact that we're playing on an NFL surface. We have two practice fields that are NFL surface. I mean, so just from a facility standpoint, what we get with this relationship with the Steelers is huge. So we absolutely try to take advantage of that. I don't know what's been done in the past, but obviously, when I came in, I was all on board of trying to take full advantage of that opportunity and that relationship.
And then they, I know that there is a process of a new facility being put in. I know that you may not know the answer of when the completion may be, but so that might be something that is obviously another big recruiting tool there.
That's huge. And I've told recruits, this is the first time in my career that I haven't just been staring at a rendering, to actually see it being built. Obviously has us excited. I know the latest we had heard was next May, but I also heard they've moved back ahead of schedule. So I'm not sure. I just know it's being built. There's a roof going on it right now. So they're in full swing. And we're pretty sure we'll have that operational for everything that we need in 26.
Oh, okay. So perhaps this time next year.
Yeah.
That's
my understanding. I mean, but I'm so low on the totem pole. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I'm hearing.
Now, is that going to be used if the Steelers have to move indoors again because they had to hop into the Carey Center yesterday?
Yeah, I don't. God bless them for that. I don't know. I would assume there's going to be that relationship where they can get in that facility when they need to. I think it'd be crazy of us not to. I know they've been rained out the last couple of days. I know from my perspective, I'm excited to not have to deal with the heat index issues, in the future, to be able to go into a facility like that with the, it's going to be a 60 to 70 yard field. We're pretty pumped to have that option.
And you know, as someone who's been coaching for now multiple decades, I mean, I only ever experienced it as a player in high school and into college, but I feel like those gym practices, you don't get a whole lot done there.
No, you try to do as much as you possibly can, but you know, it's basically becomes a half speed walkthrough where you know, you got to limit what your quarterbacks are doing in terms of throwing the football. It's mainly just get yourselves aligned, get adjusted to, you know, to formation. You know, you do as much as you can, but there's not a lot getting accomplished on a gym floor. So to be able to go into a facility like what we're looking to get into is going to be really good for this program.
Talking to Casey Goff, he is the head coach of the St. Vincent College Bearcats football team. His first season on the sidelines with the Bearcats will be beginning early. Well, I guess we're still just over a month away from the start of the season. But do you still get those jitters going into a new season, no matter where you're at and how long you've been there?
Yeah, I think if you stop getting those jitters, you probably have to reevaluate what you're doing. I mean, it's not a nervousness; it's just an excitement. You know, I'm in this business because I love the game of football, and to be able to, you know, to go into an office every day and just have this be what I do for a living. You know, whether camp is around the corner or not, I think I still get jitters just coming into the office because I'm just excited to be a part of this game, be a part of the sport, and you know, continue to work to build the game, continue to work to build the program. So that's just, you know, it's an exciting thing.
When did it hit you that you wanted to become a football coach?
You know, probably my junior or senior year in college. I just couldn't see myself doing a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. Not being involved with a game that's been such a big part of my life, you know, and football is one of those give and take things, man. It gives, but it certainly takes, you know, but it was just something I knew that I wanted to do. So I immediately, you know, I had an extra semester when I was in college. I was great at college. I wasn't the best at being a student. but so I had a little extra time and went on as a student assistant in that year and then got right into coaching after that. Had an opportunity to go to Muhlenberg and work with the great Mike Donnelly, who taught me so much about the game, you know, and it just kind of took off from there. And I just knew that it was what I wanted to do. And I've just always – D3 is what I played. It's what I've always coached. It's where I enjoy being. I love the D3 environment. I love the kids that play D3 football. So it's just been – I knew it right away, and I knew this was the division I wanted to be a part of.
And you brought up the D3 environment, so I want to get into that because, I mean, that's also the only level that I've ever experienced as a player, as a broadcaster, especially now with the last few years, how so much has changed in college athletics, especially at the D1 level. You have NIL, you have the transfer portal. What is it that makes D3 so special to be a part of?
You know, and I don't want to say this with making, you know, it's sounding bad towards other divisions and what else is going on in Division 1, and because I think a lot of it's good, some of it's bad the way it's being handled. But with Division 3, I mean, you're still dealing with kids that are out there for the love of the game. You know, they're paying to go to school. They're paying to go out there and beat themselves up on a regular basis because they love football. And I'm not saying guys in Division 1 don't love football, but you know, the opportunities that are being presented to those guys aren't being presented to Division 3 guys. They understand their career is going to be something else beyond the NFL. I think more and more kids in Division 1 need to understand that too. You know, even place like an LSU, there's not a lot of those kids moving on and playing at the next level. But our kids are really invested in you know, the game, but yet they're really invested in what life's going to be after those 4 years. So I think it's really commendable in terms of how they approach classwork, how they approach the weight room, how they approach the practice field, all while paying to attend school, paying to play football, essentially. So I think it's still a pure division right now. Or even, I mean, NIL is creeping into high school mm-hmm. ball, you know, so it's getting wild out there. But it's just fun to be around kids that that are playing because they love the game, and they're not necessarily looking for, hey, what else is there? What else can I get? They're just invested in their team, invested in what they're doing, invested in their education.
How hard is it to find that healthy balance between, you know, strictly coaching the game, which is what you are passionate about, but also at this level, like you said, you have to form young men for society?
You know, I don't know that it's a balance. I think first and foremost, that's your responsibility. Like, we go through making sure those kids understand, like, your academics have to come first. So if you've got a class conflict, there's not a conflict. You're going to class. You know, you're going to handle the things that you need to handle that are going to work to set you up for the next 40 years of your life. So I think it's kind of our responsibility to make sure that the kids have a full understanding of that. And it's our, you know, it's kind of the promises we make to parents, to make sure we're going to be a part of that process. But we also, you know, you better believe we're telling those kids you can devote that same amount of energy into the things that are going to make you a better football player. And those things that are going to help you make you a better football player are going to help you down the line. You know, we all talk about the benefits of football when it comes to discipline, when it comes to, you know, your teammates and being a part of something bigger than yourself. And they aren't cliche. I mean, I think that's what separates football players. So all those lessons that lie in the work that goes beyond the classroom, like, we just try to get our kids to understand, yeah, classroom's coming first, and you have to put that first, but also understand you can put that work into the things that are going to help you be a better football player.
Talk about your transition to St. Vincent College, you know, when this position got on your radar. You know, Aaron Smetanka was relieved after last season wrapped up. The job is open. When does it get on your radar? You know, how does really that, like, interview process and stuff go? And then, you know, you eventually get the call and the offer to be the next head football coach.
You know, it got on my radar pretty quick in terms of, you know, me wanting to get back in college football, because I had a year where I wasn't in college ball. I did a high school job for a season in between. I was at TC&J for seven seasons as a head coach, and, you know, we moved to get my wife a little closer to her family. But I realized that wasn't for me, and I really wanted to get back into college ball. And my wife actually let me know the job was open, because she knew I was miserable, and she started sending me, hey, this is open. When I saw St. Vincent was open, I was like, I'm all over that one. I'm gonna invest everything I can into getting this job, because I always thought St. Vincent could be a powerhouse. And I thought that when I was at WMJ. I mean, I was at WMJ 07, 08, 09 mm-hmm. when they brought the program back. And, you know, I remember being down on that field as an opponent and just looking around going, man, this place is going to be good, and it's going to be good fast. I mean, you're in the heart of the Whipple. You know, you're just – I mean, Western Pennsylvania is wrestling and football. You know, there's nothing better to start a college football program with than Western Pennsylvania kids. You know, and then it just – you know, whatever's happened in the past has happened in the past, but when that opportunity presented itself, you better believe I jumped all over it. And you know, in terms of the process, it was a thorough process. You know, did my phone interview, did my Zoom interview, got on campus. You know, they took their time in making sure they selected who they felt was the right person for the job. Whether I was the first choice or not, I don't know. I don't care. Point is, I'm here, and I'm going to try to do everything I can to turn this around and build it into what I always thought it could be.
How much of an emphasis, because you brought up how Western PA, it's a lot of wrestlers, it's a lot of football players, and especially here, like where we are, Westmoreland County, you have a lot of really good wrestling programs, and you got some pretty good football programs too, or you at least have a lot of football programs to choose from. How much of an emphasis with where the, you know, school is at, you're right here in the heart of it, is recruiting the kids in the area?
We have five full-time coaches, which is phenomenal in Division III, you know, and that's myself included, it makes six. And that's honestly what made me believe St. Vincent really, really is invested in football and wants to make this good, you know. So all six of us have a piece of the Whipple. So we've got our entire staff in this high school conference. I think there's 119 schools, I believe, that play football.
Sounds about
in
right.
Whipple.
Yeah.
And we made sure we were in every one of them. So, you know, and that includes Westmoreland County. And so we were in every school here, but we were in every school in Allegheny County, in Beaver County. We were Greene County. We went up to Erie. Like, we've been everywhere. So I think we've emphasized Westmoreland as much as we've emphasized everybody else, just understanding that we know what we're surrounded by. We know what we have in our backyard. And there's really no reason for us to go anywhere else. In terms of the level that we have, don't get me wrong. Like, we're going into Central PA. We had a phenomenal player from Halifax on campus today. We're going into Eastern Pennsylvania. We're getting into Maryland because that makes sense. Virginia, mm-hmm. West Virginia, Ohio, New York, all those areas make a lot of sense for us. But we wanted to make sure that we had this area blanketed. And it's paid off so far. I mean, we've had 300-plus kids on campus since the end of April. And it's just, I think there's a vibe and there's an understanding in the area that St. Vincent means it when they say, like, hey, we're going to recruit Western Pennsylvania and we're going to make sure it's a priority with what we do.
Have you also noticed it at the even D3 level where, you know, the transfer portal is so prominent at Division I, but you still get kids that are leaving nearby D2 schools? I mean, we have Seton Hill down the road. We have Cal U not too much further down the road. Like, players that leave those schools and maybe they find that St. Vincent's the right place for them.
We've got a really good quarterback who just transferred in from Cal. You know, came in the spring. Local kid, Hempfield kid, that we're really excited about. So that's been the biggest thing for the portal. You know, you find that it's just been that trickle-down effect where Division I kid isn't happy. Division I kid transfers to a Division II school. And that creates just a bad situation for a kid that thought he was going to get his opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to fault anybody, you know, but that's where we're starting to get some kids that are noticing us a little more because somebody transferred into their institution and coaches have to make decisions and they're being real forthcoming with kids about, hey, your status with us isn't necessarily what it was originally because of this transfer coming in. You know, so I think that's been the biggest thing where we're getting access to more kids that we traditionally wouldn't. And I think, who knows, like with this, the roster restrictions that are going to start to happen in Division I when it comes to this paid, you know, mm-hmm. paid to play, we might have even more access to really, really good football players in Division III. But that's been the biggest impact so far, and you're spot on with that process. It's, you know, a D1 kid comes into a D2, D2 kids are looking for a home and looking for an opportunity, so it's that trickle down. That's why we try to make sure that we have great relationships with kids throughout the recruiting process, understanding they're not always going to pick St. Vincent right away. Like, we get it. We're not going to be the best fit for everyone. But, you know, maybe if they've taken that other opportunity, it doesn't work out, they'll remember our place. They'll remember our campus, remember our coaching staff for the right reasons, and come on back.
Do you think we ever hit the NIL stuff in D3?
Oh,
yeah. I didn't know if, like, some kid had, like, a deal with Sharkies to come play at St. Vincent. I don't know if we'd hit
that at some point. Nothing that extreme. Nothing that extreme. But we've got a couple kids that one of our players has, like, a really good Instagram following. And he's got a couple deals. It's nothing like major, you know. But he gets some free stuff, and you know, we make sure we go through our compliance office when these things come up. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's that just that little bit that he gets is pretty cool. So I don't know. It's never going to be the scale that it is at the higher levels. But hopefully they also get a handle on what's going on at the higher levels, because I feel like it was always about sponsorships and not these collectives, but we'll see. You know, I don't know that that'll ever hit the Division III level. I don't know how I feel about it if it does, but you know, it's pretty cool that our kids get these little deals, these little opportunities where they get a little something.
When it came to putting your staff together, did you basically have free reign? You know, you brought back my guy Chase Johnston. He's on the staff again in 2025. But, you know, it certainly
I had no choice on that. They made me keep Chase.
but a mix of returning coaches, new coaches in, you know, like, how much freedom did you have there?
So they gave me a lot of flexibility with that, which I was really happy about. To be able to go out and go through an interview process and pick guys that I felt like made a lot of sense for us. Chase was, I mean, that was a no-brainer to me because he was the only guy kind of from the previous staff, and he was left to really hold things together for a couple months. So seeing the work that he was doing and how much he's grown since I've been in place, and it's been awesome to watch his maturation as a coach. But then to be able to go out and thoroughly interview guys, and I had some guys in mind, but then I also had some guys that came out of the woodwork that I had interviewed when I was at TC&J that really stuck out, or guys that I worked camps with, and really fortunate to put a group together. It's one of the best coaching staffs I've been a part of, like young, hungry coaches that want to work and want to do it the right way. So that's one of the things I'm really pumped that I was able to have the flexibility to go get the guys that I felt I needed. And I think we hit it out of the park with these guys.
What is it that's so special about the coaching community where, you know, it's almost like I feel when you recruit a player and maybe he doesn't come in at first, but, you know, like you were saying, I cross paths with this guy at some point down the road, and like now I want him on my staff if he wants to be on my staff. Like it just feels like such a tight-knit community, even though it's, you know, people are everywhere.
Yeah, because we're all incredibly stupid in what we do. Like, let's be honest. I think it's a group of guys that you get a quick idea of who's in it for the right reasons, and you know, you kind of grasp on those guys that you see have tremendous work ethic, and it does, sometimes it only takes working a camp with a guy to understand what he's all about. And we're all guys that are willing to invest a ton of time into kids and a ton of time to the game, and I think that naturally brings us a little closer, you know. Sorry,
you're good. Our guy Stephen Latrobe is just too excited here.
So I think you just build a natural connection through love of the game and through hard work and just understanding that you're built. I know I jokingly said we're all stupid. We're just built a little different. And God bless our families for going through what they go through to deal with us, because they understand how important it is to us. You know, like I said, my wife finally had me at home, and she just knew. She was like, no, you're not going to be at home feeling like this. We're going to get you back in college football. So, I think it's just natural that we, like I said, that we come together a little bit.
Does your wife ever get tired of how much you're invested in football? How much football is about your life?
Listen, she, I didn't have perspective until I met her. So I'm a firm believer in doing everything you can to be balanced as a coach. So honestly, I'm a family first guy. So I do everything I can to make sure that I invest as much time in my family as I possibly can as a coach. And I know a lot of coaches don't believe in that. To be honest, there's a lot of coaches that don't feel like you can have balance and be successful. But I feel with Huddle, with modern technology, with having guys around you that you trust, you can do those things. And I didn't necessarily have that perspective until I met Jamie. She kicks me in the butt when she needs to. I mean, I've got an 8-year-old son. I've got a 3-year-old daughter, and I can't forget about them. And she helps me make sure I don't. So, yeah, she does get tired of it sometimes, and she'll tell me about it. And I appreciate that about her.
Do you already have your son playing football? Are you going to get him into it?
Oh, yeah. He is I've been balancing a lot of, like, I've been sprinting home because I was part of his coaching staff for baseball. So he just finished up 8U All-Star Baseball. But he's a football-first kid through and through. So he's all about football, and wrestling are the kind of his top two, and baseball is just something extra that he does. But, he's all in on the game.
I feel like not wrestling was always a regret of mine. It would have absolutely benefited my football career. But I saw how much those guys had to run. I said, no thanks.
Hey, I'm the same. I tell my kid all the time, listen, I'm like, it's one of my biggest regrets. Fortunately, I picked up jiu-jitsu a little bit in the last few years, but it's not the same, you know, as if I'd been a high school wrestler. And I just try to tell them, like, listen, it's going to benefit you, especially as a football player. But, you know, I don't force it, but he's naturally drawn to it, which I appreciate. He likes to hit too. So,
does he already have like a favorite position or a couple of positions picked out?
you know, he wants to be a running back. His team's putting him at quarterback this year. And I'm like, dude, you got the ball in your hands every play. When I was growing up, everybody wanted to be a quarterback. Like, I was Randall Cunningham back there. You know what I mean? So he appreciates it, but he just loves being out there.
So if he ever becomes a big hoss, the way that my dad convinced me, I played center from the time I was 7 until I was, 19 or 20. He said, learn how to play center. You touch the ball every play.
Absolutely. Hey, most important person
you
on
start
the field,
play.
Right? Nothing happened. Everybody would be standing around if there was no center on the field.
So that was all the convincing that I needed, just learn how to snap the ball. A couple of more minutes here with Casey Goff, the St. Vincent football head coach, entering his first season. You know, just a quick glance at the Bearcats schedule here, which gets underway September 6th at Chuck Knoll Field against Hilbert College. That'll be one of the two out-of-conference games. But there was a big move in the President's Athletic Conference over the course of the last year. CMU, one of the big dogs in the conference, out, and Hiram comes back in. So how much has that played any sort of change for you? I know that, you know, you weren't with the team the last couple of years when you had to play CMU, but I mean, given that it is one of the powerhouses in the conference, that at least to me would be kind of nice to know that they're out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody in the conference was kind of – some guys are probably conflicted, but I think they made our conference better. But, I mean, with Hiram coming in and then St. Francis coming in soon, you know, we're still one of the strongest conferences in the country, so we're pretty excited about that. But in terms of who's in, who's out, I'm just week to week worrying about it. Everybody's got strength in their own way. And we're a team that struggled. I mean, let's be honest. No matter who's on our schedule, we're going to have to work our tails off to win football games. You know, but especially with you know, W&J still in there, Case Western's still in there, Grove City's playing really good football the last few years. Westminster's a different program than I remember my time at W&J. Like, there's a lot of guys, a lot of teams out there that are playing really good football. So with Carnegie Mellon leaving, I don't think it doesn't loosen things up. You know, I think we're still staring down a schedule that, you know, there's a lot of really good football teams that we have to go through.
Do you ever see what Grove City has done over the last 5+ years and think, you know what, like, St. Vincent can be that next team? I mean, listen, when I first started covering games in the PAC, Grove City wouldn't win a game. And now here they are going to the national semifinals. They're one of the best teams in the country. So a remarkable turnaround. Like, do you see that program and think, like, we can build that here? That's something that I think is possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think there's a lot of similarities in terms of what both schools have to offer to kids. And we're leaning on that hard, you know, in our recruiting process. You know, letting kids know there's an option for kids that don't necessarily want some of the things that occur on some liberal arts college campuses. And I think St. Vincent's a place that's deeply embedded in its traditions, and it believes in family, and it believes in relationships, and it believes in all the positive things, you know, that come with a Catholic institution. And I think it's something that we can really lean on, and I think people in Western Pennsylvania appreciate things that we have to, you know, things that we have to offer. So I absolutely feel we can be a school that's similar to that. It's going to take a process, much like it did there. And I mean, hey, I remember when D. Donato was a player. You know, he was quarterback when I was at W&J, and I mean, he was a hell of a player, and you just kind of knew when he was going to come back, he was going to bring a different vibe to that place, because he brought a vibe when he was there, you know. And now he's able to some really quality kids and, I mean, outstanding offensive line. So, you know, we know what we're up against, but we know that it can be done. That we can be that type of an institution and get things done the right way with the right type of kids, doing things that we feel are important in terms of a kid's maturation, their growth, the process they go through. So, you know, that's what's exciting, I think, about working at a place like St. Vincent.
Coach, one more for you. Your top personal goal for the 2025 season?
Just get better. Every week, get better. You know, that's it. I don't think – I'm not – other people might measure us in wins and losses, but this season's all about establishing a new culture at St. Vincent, period. And it's going to be how hard this team works, how well they treat one another, what they do on and off the field, how they conduct themselves. Those are the things I'm looking for. But all I just want to see a constant improvement on a weekly basis and a devotion to improving on a weekly basis. And then we'll start handling the other things as we move forward. But this team has a huge task in 2025. Like, building culture is harder than winning. They're kind of setting the tone for the future. And I think, you know, that's something that's overlooked sometimes when you're looking at a program, especially one that's been down and out a little bit. But I think these kids are up for that task, and I think they're invested in it, and I think they want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of the change.
Casey Goff, head football coach, St. Vincent College. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
This was awesome.